League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the clubs of Kingwood for the Bad Pants Open. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry's off for the day, so Travis Johnson is in as we are at the Bad Pants Open out here at the clubs of Kingwood and Kingwood Country Club. It is a fantastic day. It is a fantastic event, and it is all for a great, great cause to help Texas Children's Hospital. I wanted to throw out some things to you and get some questions to you because you've been through this combine process. And I hate the fact that literally you guys are prodded upon, you are beaten down, you're interviewed. Give the people listening just a little bit of like a taste of like from the time you get there. I mean, between the physical testing, you said, you know, obviously they're going to measure your hands and your length, your arms and all that stuff. But then you got to run the 40. You got to do all the shuffle drills.
Yes. So you fly into Indianapolis and they put you up in a hotel, which is right there connected to the train station, where – the first night you're doing all the interviews, you're still interviewing, like people are coming around and say, hey, I need to have you at this time. And
so there's like a PR staff that says certain teams that want to interview they schedule you.
So they put you on the schedule. Right. And really it's like your first time you had to almost keep track of your schedule because you had to be like, oh, no, I have, you know, they're like, oh, what do you have at this time? You say, oh, I have the Colts at this time. And they're like, all right, well, we want this next timetable. So he's like, all right, cool. You write your schedule down to find out what teams you go to and make sure you where you need to be on time. It's kind of they trying to check your
– everything's a test.
Everything's a test. So so you do that the first night. The second day is all hospital stuff. So you're going to take your physical, your blood test. You know, that's always the joke, you know, the running joke where I don't know how it keeps on – going down the grapevine as far as years and years. Well, I know we'll go to the blood test, and you'll see a couple guys nervous, and you tell them, like, hey, man, they're not testing for AIDS, man. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Like, stuff like that. And guys will be like, whoo, or, oh, they only tested to make sure you got to see if you got a clap or not. You know what I mean? It'd be random jokes in there.
Not exactly PC correct. We've talked about in terms of what goes on.
Yeah, so they'll do that. Then there's a room. So you go to the hospital, you do that, your blood test, your urine sample, and, you know, they check your teeth. They got a dentist to check your teeth, all that stuff.
What does the teeth matter?
Because it speaks to the health. You're healthy. Oh. If you have a messed up
How many guys are having people try and pee for them?
Nobody. You can't pee. You got
– But you know that you got guys that did some things that are trying to cover that up by the time they get there.
No. Not at the comp. There's no possible way to ever have anybody else.
Not by the time you get there, but leading up to it, you've got to be smart enough.
Yeah, you got, of course, because you got. I mean, you got guys. I know guys who I've trained with, who literally took 2 months to get marijuana out of their system.
Wow.
But at the same time, they knew it was coming. So if you pop positive to combine, that's another test. That's a IQ test. It's saying, are you smart enough to know you're going to get tested at this combine that you've been invited to that's actually on March the 1st.
Right.
And if you can't get it out of your system by March the 1st,
if you're not responsible to handle this, how are you going to handle the NFL?
Exactly. So that's why a lot of times guys who – and, you know, it's funny because, you know, we had a guy pop positive for steroids at the combine. He went in the first round, and the guy who popped positive for marijuana didn't.
Wow.
You know what I mean? End up going seventh round. Some guys not get drafted. You know, but then you have – you know, after the doctors, they take you to this long, it's a conference room that has nothing but the team doctors in them. Every single team doctor in the game is full with their doctors. And you literally go from all the way around. You give them your name. You give them your name. You give them your school. They look at, they pull out your medical history. Then they say, oh, we want to check something. So, literally, like, for me, I had my ankle reconstructed when I was.
So, they're checking on you.
Yeah. So, when I had my ankle reconstructed when I was a freshman. So, my freshman year after my ankle surgery, you know, basically where they fused all my toes together from here to right up underneath my calf. So, basically, it was they pulling and tugging and yanking that sucker back and pushing forward on it to see how much you can take. And I just sat there like, all right. You know what I mean? Then they get you up. All right, get on your toes. Make sure that's fine. We need you to roll that ankle all the way over, see how it rolls over for you. Like, they do all that stuff. And I had to do that for all 32 teams.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then with my shoulder, they had to do the same thing with my shoulder. So everybody's literally foot under the thing, like pulling on, like, how does that feel? You know, taking you through the regular doctor's test and seeing how. So then now you get done with that, and you go to bench press. So, but if you go to bench press, that's the only – normally bench press would be the only thing you do that day. But if your bench press is – but if you get called in for extra MRIs, you miss the bench press.
You have a chance to make it up?
Yeah, you got a chance to make it up, but a lot of people are like, why would I go make up a bench press when I could do the pro day? So yeah. I remember they called me in and was like, hey, they want to scan your neck because I had a stinger as a freshman, and then we use it to get me a free red shirt. We faked the injury to give me a red shirt.
So Florida State did illegal things?
No, it wasn't illegal.
Because you weren't caught.
So, no, I mean, I've been telling stories. I was there, so it's not a big deal. But so I missed the bench press. So then the next day, you go and you do broad jump, 40, all the stuff they watch on TV.
But here's the thing to me. The most interesting thing to me is because you're already being treated like a piece of meat with their pulling and prodding. I'm sure you wanted to, like,
on you.
Say, let me pull on you a little bit and ask you how that feels. But you go through all that and these interviews. Now, a lot of them are just questions.
Oh, they're
but
nuts.
They get psychological, right?
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Excuse me. Let me backtrack. So that first day when you're doing the physicals and all that other stuff, you also do the testing. So we're actually got paper tests, like SAT tests.
That's the one that Vince Young struggled with.
So that you have your Wonderlic.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
You know what I mean? You have your Wonderlic test, but each team has their own test. So the guy.
You take 32 other tests?
It depends on who wants you to test.
Oh my God.
who you want to be at. The Giants test is 3 hours long. Dang near. It's literally almost 3 hours long. I'd never forget. I use Pac-Man because he's my dog. So Pac-Man, we sitting in there, and this long test is like 400 questions. And Pac-Man goes, man, what pick does the Giants have? And somebody goes, I think they got like. Because who would the Giants take? He said, oh, I think they got like 13 or 14. He said, oh, man. And bleep,
F that.
F this. And literally took the test, threw it on the ground, and walked out and said, they don't have a – I'm going way before that. Ended up going six.
Wow.
Left. I said, well, dang, I might drop to the Giants, so let me finish my test.
You spent 3 hours on one test.
On one test. And then you go around to the next guys. But everybody gets a – the whole league gets a copy of the test. I mean, then you got an eye test, your hand test. All of that stuff, man.
Okay, I get that. But these written tests, you guys got to be like exam week times 10.
Yeah, it is. It really is. But it's funny because, you know, the Wonderlic is, you know, I think you get 10 minutes. I think it's like 10 minutes for
Vince Young got like a 9?
Questions. No, I think he got like a 7.
Ugh.
Or something like that.
And but he got like, how many for his name?
No, you get nothing for your name. But okay. you only get points for what gets answered. And I don't know what Vince has. So I don't know what he got. He might have got a 9. But for quarterbacks, normally higher. Like Fitzpatrick in our draft.
Well, he's an
Fitzpatrick
Ivy League
guy. Fitzpatrick got a 50.
Yeah.
Oh. You know what I mean? So
50 out of 50?
50 out of 50.
Jeez.
You know what I mean? So, but like, I think I got a 28 on mine. You know what I mean? So that was respectable.
Very good. Actually,
very good. Yeah. But no, you don't get offer answering stuff wrong. you get stuff for what you actually.
Now, is there like word of mouth traveling about, you know, right and wrong answers and what they're looking for?
No, because they're all different. No, it's a – there's only right and wrong answers. So they have a they have math questions.
Okay.
Where you actually have, like, equations. They have, you know, yes and no. They have, like, almost riddle-type questions, like, if and buts were peanuts and nuts, what were buts? You know what I mean? Like,
story problems, like, yeah, if a train leaving Poughkeepsie with a bunch of apples.
Yeah, reading comprehension problems.
Yeah.
So, you know, me, I knew I wasn't – I'm not strong in math like that. I know y'all can add, subtract, divide, multiply, I do all of that. But I'm not strong in doing these equations and blah, blah, blah. So guess what I do? I skip all the math questions. I don't have to answer them because it doesn't affect me if I don't answer them.
So you're penalized if you're wrong, but if you don't answer them.
You're not penalized.
Smart. Wow.
See what I'm saying?
Got it.
So we had to do that. But then, like, you get in these meetings. Like, every night you have a meeting with teams.
So there's no breaks, man. You're going morning, noon,
night. And that's why it's so hard to be successful at the combine. That's why you see a lot of guys saying, "Oh, I'm not going to work out." Like me, I had all intents and purposes of working out at the combine. Well, then when I had to go in an MRI machine for an additional 3.5-4 hours of my neck, so I'm fully immersed in the MRI machine. If anybody's had an MRI machine, everybody knows. So now my head, like they're doing my neck. So my entire body is in this little hole.
And you can't move
for 3 hours. Yeah. And I'm claustrophobic, so I'm sleeping. You know what I mean? So now it's like, okay, get out. Tomorrow we're going to work out. And you're sitting there like, what?
So how many days did you go through this?
This is 3 days. It was 3 days. Matter of fact, me and Justin Tuck were roommates. So, and you get a roommate. And if you get a filthy, so some guys get nasty, filthy roommates or guys that don't want to go to sleep. You know, and you get a roommate. Sometimes you get one room. If you're lucky, you get a single room, but they call you in there, and I remember it was either Browns or the Bengals, and you're doing an interview and they got a guy yelling and screaming in your face, and he's dog cussing you, and so I'm sitting there having an interview with the coaches, blah blah blah, and the guy goes, "What if I just hit you in your face right now?" And I literally stopped the interview. And was like, "Hold on, homeboy, you touch me and I'm gonna knock your ass out of here." And coach was like, Oh, I said, "No." Nah. I said, "Words is one thing. You put your hands on me, I'm gonna kill you. And in this room with all these coaches, you're gonna have to wear this whooping."
Wow. Amazing. See, that's the stuff I wanted. I mean, I get it that everybody's talking about what they wear and, you know, they make a funny deal out of it and show everybody at the 40. But there's so much more that you got to want to go out and have a drink and just
detox for a couple days. You got to decompress. I mean, when you heard the rumor about them asking Dez Bryant was his mama a hoe, that was a real question. That was a legitimate.
That's one where you would throw hands.
I know you can't because you're going to get penalized for it, but
your blood's got to be boiling.
But at the same time, it was because of – see, here's one thing people don't understand is – the NFL, before they give you this money, they investigate. They literally – I had my girlfriend from the fifth grade. I barely remember her name. Called me out of the blue. Matter of fact, hit me up and was like, "Hey, man, I had some guy from the NFL call me and ask me what type of person you were." My elementary school teachers called me and said, "The NFL – my high school, they wanted – man, I had the FBI come in and ask – were you always in detention or what type of student were you?" I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" A neighbor I had, random neighbor my freshman year in college, they called her up, met with her, asked what type of neighbor I was.
That's crazy. Now, Nick and Barry were talking about this yesterday, and I want to get to that when we get done with the break. But I want to check on like social media nowadays, because it was a little different when you were going through the combine.
There was no social media.
Right, but nowadays, that's a big deal. So just hold that, because we'll get that when we come back, and a whole lot more. It is Travis and Joel from the Bad Pants Open at Kingwood Country Club. Nick holding down the fort back at headquarters, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the clubs of Kingwood for the Bad Pants Open.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. Fantastic to have you with us. We are at the Bad Pants Open out here at the Country Clubs of Kingwood and Kingwood Country Club. Good golf, bad pants, lots of fantastic people and incredible stories like the one we had on earlier. If you did not catch the Strauss family, please hit the podcast. Fantastic story, moving to what the abilities of Texas Children's Hospital and the power of the people that be. Great parents with a son that made it through open heart surgery after only being on the planet like 23 days. So that was fantastic. And before the break, we were talking to Trap, who's filling in for Barry, Travis Johnson, about the Combine. We all hear about the Combine, but I don't think we really know the real story. And it takes us back, Nick, you and I and Barry were talking about this the other day. But in a time now with social media, everything you do, and you're talking about they're going back to check your fifth grade girlfriend. So, and they're not checking her for any kind of test, thank God. But at the same time, they're asking her questions, and then that behooves me to say, hey, now that there's social media, and there's Snapchat, and there's Facebook, and there's Twitter, they're looking at all that stuff.
Well, yeah, of course. And I, you know, some guys that literally on a draft board become undraftable because of their social media. And
what makes a guy undraftable because of social media?
I mean, I can't really say the word on
videos,
air,
guns,
all of that. You know, I mean, it's certain type of behavior that's not acceptable. And I
drugs,
think, yeah, of course. I think you got to be, because right now these kids telling themselves they don't like. They've made it easier for the NFL. Like we always used to say, the combine is not to see who the NFL wants to get; it's to find cheaper ways to get you. You see what I'm saying? Like they're literally trying to find. They're nitpicking at every little thing to figure out how can I get this guy cheaper? How can I not spend the money that right now he's earned on the field? Now what I got to do is I got to figure a way to cut him down. Like Mike Mayock. Mike Mayock, the entire preparation for the draft was like, oh, Travis Johnson, character issue. Well, how am I a character issue? Because I was falsely accused of rape when I was in school? So now I'm a character issue?
Wow.
Are you kidding me? Never been in trouble
well,
day in my life.
What was it? It was Lael Collins. With the girlfriend thing that
now
when he's exonerated
nobody
never
says
came
nothing.
Up. And that dropped his stock.
Dropped his stock. He went from going to be a top 10 pick to not getting drafted.
Yeah, he was undrafted. That's right.
Yeah.
And then, is it Tunsil? The kid that.
Laramie, with the bong. With the bong. But Laramie, everybody, I mean, he was smoking for, I mean, whatever. Whatever he was smoking, he was smoking. Everybody knew. Laramie Tunsil had, you know, was a weed smoker, but the problem is he got caught on camera doing it. You see what I'm saying? But he still got drafted. You know what I mean?
Because but he's also dumb enough to put it on video.
Well, whoever it is, the problem is everybody thinks, oh, we always got to video it because they won't believe us if we video it. Well, if you just tell me you smoke a bowl out of a gas mask, I believe you. I don't have no reason not to believe you. So who cares if you got it on video? But all these guys feel like they got to record everything.
Social media, yeah, you got to put everything out there.
The Snapchat error.
Look at Pockets over here. Everything's got to be on social media. I mean, even a relationship is carried out through the web. I mean, it's ridiculous these days. And the thing is that the question that came up that I want to get your opinion on, we had the discussion, is it better to not have any social media at all?
Yes.
Or to have an account where you show nothing but being squeaky clean even if you're not? Because to me, it was like if I'm – and Keenan used to talk about when he was at Maryland and how they would check the social media before offering a scholarship. And it's like, well, if a guy doesn't have an account, any accounts at all, now I'm suspicious because now I don't know anything. Now I can't do any checks. Now I can't see what he has and hasn't been doing. Now I can't see any tendencies. Whereas if he has an account and it's limited or it's very clean, then at least I can see that he's been out there interacting.
No, you have, I'd rather guy like my – like I don't want my kids to have any of that. Like when they growing up, like it's so much more to life than shit. It's like because all you doing, what you doing when you go on IG, you watching the best of everybody. Nobody puts on IG, I got fired from my job today. Check it out, take a picture. Everybody's like, oh look, I got a promotion. They bumped me from $5 to $10. Oh look, I went from a Honda to a Rolls Royce. Everything is always positive. So why even be on that foolishness?
Well, I mean, you do want to interact with your friends.
No, but you interact. Call him on the phone. Tell them meet you somewhere.
But you know that's not realistic today's day and age.
Why not?
Whether they are or not, people are so focused that they're too busy to talk.
No.
So they want to text or they want to send a message or a tweet.
That's why my kids won't have any of that. They just won't.
Wow.
Because there's no point.
They're all over. I see. There was one on your hat. They're all over the place. Okay, so stay focused. So you get through all of that, and then are you done with it? I mean, on the pro day, it's run by your university, so at least you're in a better situation where it's not quite as like everybody pulling at you.
Oh yeah, no, pro day you control the everything,
the environment
on pro day. I mean, that's why you got guys like Sam Darnold who's talking about, oh, he's not finna throw. You know, which I don't agree with. I think Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and Josh Allen, I think all of them need to throw. Because the thing is, during the year, all of them, in my opinion, played poorly.
There's no doubt they played than less what was expected of them.
Yeah, and so I think you got to require that. But at the same time, I know that when you go to pro day, you can control. You say, all right, this is how many times I'm throwing. I can be featured. It's not a lot going on, but you know you go to pro day. I guess guys don't want to throw twice. You know, quarterbacks are like, if I throw here, then I don't want to throw a pro day. Well, then if he doesn't throw a pro day, he kind of cheats the rest of his teammates because his teammates know, guys, the scouts are coming to see you. They want to come see you, and if I don't throw, it's going to be a lot less scouts that are there.
See, but here's the thing, Trav. What I don't agree with is the fact that. You know, it's not like playing two games in 4 days. You're throwing, and then your pro day is down the road quite a ways. I don't understand the concept. You're a quarterback. You're going to throw for the rest of your life. Why wouldn't you throw? I mean, and there's enough tape on you that if there's any shortcomings or things that aren't good, you're going to they're already going to know about those. They already have them on tape.
You said, yo, already. Oh, they're going to have them on tape, but at the same time.
Why do you say no?
Why would I say what? No.
Why would Sam Darnold, why would you say no?
Because he's already the best, and the only thing he can do is make himself look worse.
But you said he had a bad year. He's not the best, and there's five quarterbacks that are going to be going very highly in this draft.
But I would say yes. I would say yes. But even though I didn't compete at the combine. You know what I'm saying? I competed at my pro day, and so you throw the ant on me.
Okay. All right. So you didn't even What do you mean you didn't compete on your pro day?
I mean, I competed at pro day. I didn't do the combine. But at the same time, dude, this is nuts.
All right. Well, we'll get back to more of this combine. Right now, I want to tell you about some great pizza. I can't tell you how many times I've spoken on the fact that the best pizza in town is Falbo Brothers. It's out in Sugarland off of Sweetwater Boulevard off of Highway 59. Hani and his staff, Nick, will tell you, we love Falbo Brothers. I'm going to bring it into the station tomorrow for Barry. He's never had it before. Drew, don't shake your head because you only get leftovers in seconds. You don't get any of the first batch. And it's going to go quick. But it's deep dish. It's hand-tossed. It's the best pizza that I've tasted in Houston. They took the idea and the concept from Chicago, where they got the best deep dish, and they also have the hand toss. You can try all the different varieties. You can get it on Falbo Brothers. That's FalboBros.com. FalboBrothers.pizza.com. Or you can just go into the store and check them out because their pizza's fantastic. You mentioned me or ESPN 97.5, you're going to get 15% off. Also, you just mentioned as you're placing your order, they're probably going to take care of you with some other things. They love the show. They love being associated with ESPN 97.5. And at the same time, they want you to try it because they think and they know like we do. Once you go there once, you will be back again and again. You can take it out, and it stays fresh and hot, and I'm telling you, it's well worth the money. You get more than you ever paid for. So check them out. Tell them I sent you. Falbo Brothers Pizza, 59 and Sweetwater Boulevard in Sugarland.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the clubs of Kingwood for the Bad Pants Open. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, Barry Laminack looks a lot like Travis Johnson today because Barry is in Harlingen doing a comedy show with his man Andy Huggins. Should be back in the wee hours, so he'll be on the air, and we'll be back in the studio tomorrow. We are here with Travis Johnson at the Bad Pants Open for Texas Children's Hospital in the NICU unit. where they have raised over $6 million over the last 19 years. This is the 20th year. Fantastic get-together with a lot of very, very good people for a great cause. We were talking about the combine, the draft, and I don't want to bore people, but we've gotten a lot of questions off of this, and I wanted to get to one that came up this morning with Lance Zierlein when Baker Mayfield measured out at 6 foot. And there was so many – he's been scrutinized so much about what his actual height was. Lance was saying that a one-inch difference, if he had measured under 6 foot, would have meant a ton to a lot of people as opposed to measuring out where he did, which should help him. And the question on Twitter was basically, that 1 inch is going to make that big of a difference?
Yes.
Why?
Because it just will, man. 5'11 and 6 feet are two different things. I mean, when you look at Drew Brees, he's a 6 foot guy, almost closer to 6'1". So now it's looking, you know, you can almost say, you know what, he's not 5'11 quarterback. He's a 6 foot quarterback. And you have a standard what a 6 foot quarterback is supposed to look like. And that's Drew Brees. Now, at 5'11, you say, well, dang, who do we compare him to next? Johnny? You know what I mean? Like, who?
Doug Flutie. You know, you're looking at the shorter quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So you're basically saying the track record puts you into a box.
Exactly.
Whether you like it or not, how you measure out is going to put you into a box of an evaluation box.
Exactly.
With previous players. Man, that's crazy. Because that guy, you know, Barry and I had this discussion back towards the end of the season where I said every draft board that I had seen had him going late 20s, you know, maybe into the second round. And then because of how far they went, how he played, he has steadily climbed up the board to the point where now he's supposed to be a top 10 pick.
Baker's, I think Baker's a good, he's a good football player. I actually like him over the three guys, the three guys.
Rosen, Darnold.
And Josh Allen.
And Josh Allen.
I like him better than those guys, to be honest with you. I think the only the two guys that probably most intrigue me is him and Lamar Jackson. I think those two are the guys who, in my opinion, are looked over somewhat for, you know, being better than people give them credit to be. Both of them are gamers. I think that's the problem. I think when you look at Baker Mayfield, the biggest knock on him is Johnny Manziel.
He's tried to distance himself and he can't.
He can't. It's not gonna happen. I mean, when you talk about a guy who they had a lot of same mannerisms. Yeah, I don't know if Baker comes from money, but I'm pretty sure he probably does. You know what I mean?
He acts like it.
So you know, and then you look at things that are red flags and that have been. I mean, nobody. It's funny how a lot of people stop bringing up the, you know, running from the police incident.
Oh, I was going to bring it up because people are actually using it against him to say if he can't get away from cops trying to tackle him, how's he going to get away from defender?
Well, at the same time, he shouldn't have been running from the cops in the first place. You know, let's talk about the double standard. Now, if Lamar Jackson would have been running from the police and got slammed on the concrete, would we be even speaking? Would he even been won the Heisman that same year?
Interesting point.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do see what you're saying.
But, I mean, I don't want to – I mean, I went there, but at the same time,
okay,
I think –
Okay, but go there even further now. Let's take Lamar Jackson because I want to get your take on this too. So Bill Polian, all of a sudden, because he is in the Hall of Fame as a general manager and he drafted Peyton Manning, great. But he goes and he kills a kid and says he should move to wide receiver, a kid that is so dynamically athletic, has proven on a Division I stage that he's won the Heisman Trophy. He can elude defenders. He can throw and he can run. And all of a sudden, because this guy speaks out, he should move to receiver?
I think it's lazy scouting. I think what it is. I think when you see, you know, you always see the same scouting report on all the black quarterbacks. Oh, they're great. They run well. He's great athleticism. Has trouble outside
accuracy.
The pocket. His accuracy is a little bit off. But then all of a sudden you see the you know, a guy like Baker Mayfield. Oh, his athleticism is phenomenal. He's a pocket quarterback. He's this. If Baker Mayfield was black, we would not be talking about Baker Mayfield the way they talk about Baker Mayfield.
No, there's definitely a double standard.
It literally would be, let's talk about him the way we talk about Lamar Jackson. You see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying.
So, I mean, when you break down these quarterbacks, I think people just need to spend more time. And we've been saying, as players, we've been saying it for years. Because we get all these same scouting reports. When we get scouting reports from our scouts, and we literally can see, like, how lazy this is done. Like how much subtle racial tones are put in a scouting report? Like why this man can't play quarterback? Why not? You ain't tell Baker Mayfield to go and play. You know what? He's only 6 feet. Let's put him running
back. Does that carry over to even when you guys are in the middle of the season and you get a scouting report, you're getting ready to play a team?
Oh, yeah. You see it all the time.
On the report and there's things like that?
You see it all the time. I mean, you get, like, even when you talk about defensive linemen, you get, let's say we go Chris Long. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we'll go Chris Long, and then we'll say Fletcher Cox. And there, all of a sudden, you'll get a scout report that says Fletcher Cox, very athletic at times, very athletic, you know, takes plays off at times, but can really change the tempo of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll get the report on Chris Long, who says he's deceptively fast. His motor runs on high all the time. He doesn't take any plays off. He's a real hard-working guy. And you're sitting there like, but I'm watching the same film. Yeah, Chris Long is a very athletic guy.
Mm-hmm.
He can run well. He plays well. Yeah, he doesn't take – but the same can be said for Fletcher. When you look at the film, they almost – they two different players, but you can give the same report for each of them, but you don't.
And Fletcher Cox is one of the best defensive linemen in football.
Exactly, but you pull up his – but, you know, you pull up his weekly scouting report from a scout in your department and be like, what? Takes plays off. What? This – and you're sitting there and you look at the next one and be like –
So how much of that do you get back to the player? Say you're friends with Fletcher Cox, and you're not going to do it that week, but at the end of the year, do you go, bro?
No, but everybody sees it, so it wouldn't be the first time. I mean, and even when you play in the game, that, you know, your friend will call you like, man, what did the scouting report say on me? Because it's the same. I mean, it's a scouting department that puts it out, and they share it between all the teams. So everybody's going to get dang near the same report on everybody. So it's not like you have to tell him right away. This is what they said, because he knows what's on that report.
You said, ever seen anybody break down?
You said, have ever seen?
Mentally, just break down after what you're going through at the combine, just because you're being prodded and pulled mentally and physically.
Because you know what to expect. I mean, the combine is being seen all over the world. You can turn on NFL Network, you know what I mean, and be able to watch everything that goes on. So, no, I've never seen somebody mentally break down. I think when you're done, you know, the funny part is when you're done, you literally go to, like, you'll sleep so well because you've never been pushed to this point mentally, physically, and emotionally. And now all of a sudden, when the weekend is over, when you get on that back on that plane when the weekend is over, you sleep like a baby.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's just crazy to me that we got a great text. Someone said that segment was incredible because Travis brought it, and it's much appreciated because people don't get that inside. They don't get to understand that you guys are like a guinea pig in a laboratory, the way they're prodded and put, and mentally as well as physically, all the stuff that goes on. It's just crazy to me that, and then all of a sudden it's kind of like Stroman from the Blue Jays when he went through arbitration and he actually attended his hearing, and he's hearing the team that he actually plays for
just rip him
apart to try and save a couple dollars. But then after it's all over, go, hey buddy, great to have you back and looking forward to having a great year for you. At a certain point, you still have feelings.
Yeah.
I mean, and I go back, and I've used this before because you've said it. It still baffles me, too, when you know that you have a team that has a system that completely goes against everything that you as the player coming in has ever played, and they take you anyway.
Oh, yeah,
because that's what the Texans did. You were hoping to get to a team like Cincinnati that was going to play you in your natural position in a defense you've played your entire life, and instead you got drafted by the Texans.
Oh, yeah, I was hoping to get to Cincinnati. I was hoping to get to Tampa Bay, the Colts. Those teams that played that 4-3 type of scheme, and then all of a sudden you're going to Texas, you're playing 3-4, you're sitting on the pot, you're reading and reacting. No, you're not getting off the ball. That take it out your mind. I remember Vic Fangio literally told me, he said, no, we do not want you to get off the ball anymore. You're a two-gapper. A two-gapper, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. I know what it means to pin my ears back and go get it. You know, but everybody always feels like, I can change this person up. I can make this person. And you know what? It's partially the players. It's partially our fault as players, because when we go to these combines, our agent always tells them, say, just tell them you can play in anything. Tell them, because they say, what if Green Bay drafts you? I was one of the guys that I would love for Green Bay to draft me, because guess what? That means that I would, you know, I have a tradition behind, you know, what franchise I go to. You know, it's a lot of things. And you get there and they're like, oh, he can play it. He can play it. Yeah, he can do it. But it's like, no, that's not really my style. But you shouldn't have to say that, because if the scouts were doing their job, If it's, right. It would know, man, no, this guy. That's why, I mean, that's why you look at the problem with you know, a lot of these, oh, you know, these spread quarterbacks that have never been under center. And you say, well, what happened? The reason why it's taking Blake Bortles this long to even be halfway decent is because guess what? He comes from this big spread program.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. All right, so if you guys have questions, you guys have been going, doing great text messages, lighting up. They're loving what Travis is saying, giving him insight onto what goes on at the Combine. But you can reach us, 713-780-3776. We are taking phone calls today, so if you do want to call in, Nick will get you through. We'll put you on the air with Travis and myself. Otherwise, you can also text that number. I've been checking the text messages, and you can also tweet to us at @TheProducerNick, at @TrapJ99, and at @PacManJoel with a K. We'll be back with a whole lot more of the show as we continue to roll on. But right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. But telling you about Mac and the staff at Gallery Furniture with a good reason, because of the fact that I get all my furniture at Gallery and I don't look for special deals and trying to get the edge up. I don't need them because that's what Gallery does on a daily basis. They live up to their marketing standards, everything they say they're going to do, which means they're going to save you money. We've had people at the station that went shopping there after shopping elsewhere and found out that Gallery's everyday prices are better than the other furniture stores that they were shopping at, and that everything else they said was true as well, which meant that if you buy today, you get it tonight. Not just a slogan. That's what they're going to do. And when their people come to your house to move the furniture in, they're also going to say, do you want anything moved out? Do you need furniture moved around? They're going to take care of you that way as well. Their finance department's the same way. They're going to work with you to make it easier for you to make sure that they set up a payment plan so you can pay it the way you want to pay it and still get it the same day today. If you buy it today, you get it tonight. And it's all solid wood American-made furniture. It's Stickley and other brands. It's leather furniture. It's upholstered furniture. And then to make it even more convenient, they have now three locations instead of just the mainstay at I-45 North. They also have a location on Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. They also have the Galleria location right there across from Dillard's on Post Oak. So do what Mattress Mac says. Stop in today. Get in touch with Gallery Furniture, and I guarantee you they really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I approve this message.
I got the magic in me.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the clubs of Kingwood for the Bad Pants Open. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Travis Johnson in for Barry Laminack. Barry will be back tomorrow. He is in Harlingen, I believe, tonight, doing a show with Andy Huggins. Nick is back at the studio. Travis Johnson filling in for Barry. Andy Huggins is a legendary Texas comedian that travels around, does a lot of shows with Barry, but very funny. We've had him on the show before. Older guy, you wouldn't assume him to be a saucy comedian, but he's pretty funny. So he's doing the show. Barry, they travel together a lot. But we were talking about, and before we change subjects, get to some of these other things, I wanted to get your comments on Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey, a guy that played at Florida State like yourself,
yep.
Now in all-world corner with the Jacksonville Jaguars, got into it a little bit with an ex-Florida State coach now at A&M because the coach had tweeted out some I don't want to say propaganda, but he was promoting. Okay, go ahead, you tell it.
He tweeted out a picture with all of the guys who played under – Jimbo
in the secondary
and what they've done, and
included, you know, Jalen Ramsey,
of course, and Jalen and Jimbo butt heads all the time because Jimbo didn't take all that foolishness from Jalen, and Jalen felt like, you know, he's entitled, of course, so you're gonna say what you say, but at the same time, every school does this. So I mean, my thing is, For you to come out and like, oh, he ain't never teach me cornerback stuff. Well, you know, no duh, Sherlock. You know what I mean? We know it wasn't your corners coach. But he recruited you to come to Florida State.
And you played there.
And you made a whole lot of money because you played there. And because you played for him and the coaches that he put you under.
You got the platform now because of it.
So, I mean, Jalen he was in his feelings. You know what I mean? And, you know, when you get people in their feelings, They're going to say
so. I understand his loyalty to Florida State, but I'll ask you because you played for Jimbo. You like Jimbo.
No, I didn't play for Jimbo.
You played for Bobby Bowden, but Jimbo was there, right?
No, he was not.
Okay, I didn't know.
No.
I thought you did. I'm assuming. It makes an ass out of you and me. I get that. Okay, but it's your guy from Florida State, and now he's at A&M. Are there bitter feelings? Are you?
I have no bitter feelings for Jimbo. I mean, I have none whatsoever.
Because you have a relationship.
Yeah, we definitely have a relationship. I mean, I was just down there on Tuesday. Went to College Station to go check.
Did you?
Yeah, go check him out. I got a couple other homeboys on the staff. And, you know, it was wonderful going down. And to be honest, when I walked in the building, I was thoroughly impressed. Like, it was – how do you say no to $75 million and this cathedral of a facilities? You know –
Now, we've talked – Barry's brought it up, too, how great the facilities are at A&M. Is it safe to say best in the country, top five?
Easily top five.
Easily top five.
I mean, and if, unless you've seen it in person, like literally videos does it no justice.
No, because I've seen it when we did a show from there, and I was just amazed at just everything at your fingertips.
Yeah, like it was incredible. I mean, I've seen Clemson's, I've seen A&M's, I've seen Tennessee's recently.
But you've seen Florida State's, and this is stuff that you and I have talked about that people need to know. There's a reason why Jimbo Fisher left Florida State. He was done. He couldn't fight the fight anymore to get his assistants paid to get that kind of facility.
Yeah, no, he couldn't, and I don't blame him. You know,
now why couldn't he get it? Because it's a state public institution.
It's just our school stuck in the old ways. I mean, I love Coach Bowden, but Coach Bowden set us back in a lot of ways with, you know, not asking for raises for coaches, not not access to private jets. You know, our facilities got upgraded when I think our facilities were upgraded in 2003. 2004 was when our facilities got upgraded. I mean, it's stuff like that that why did this happen? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it was time, and Florida State they weren't ready to do it. And now they're pushing it through to spite Jimbo.
Is there any doubt in your mind that Jimbo's going to be, with those facilities and everything at his research, that he'll be successful?
He'll win a national title the next 5 years in Texas A&M.
Really?
Yes.
So if you're an Aggie fan and you hear that, that's pretty good news, and it shows that they went out and got the right guy. Sam was on the line. He's calling in. He wants to talk about the Jalen Ramsey situation. Sam, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
What's going on?
Nothing much, man. I just want to disagree a little bit on the Jalen Ramsey situation. I think he was getting dragged, or he was dragging Jimbo because a recruiter was kind of taking ownership of Jimbo, having Jalen Ramsey, and Jalen Ramsey was just saying he didn't teach me a DB technique, because they've been kind of in a Twitter war with Texas and their social media department. I just know because I follow it. And Texas does is highlight a lot of position coaches. And what Jalen Ramsey was just basically saying was like, this guy didn't teach me a DB technique, because there was this whole uproar over the weekend or whenever Tim Brewster, which is, I think, the recruiter that shared that tweet.
He's a recruiting coordinator and tight end coach. Brew, yeah, I know Brew. I was there. I watched everything that happened. But I know that, I mean, and Brew's been on Twitter doing his Twitter thing, and, yeah, he's been beefing with Texas. But every coach, every coach does this. Every recruiter, every school use their Twitter as a platform. Say, oh, this guy. I mean, you got Florida State right now. Of course, yeah, they still use Prime. They still use Deion. Yeah, Deion went to school there. But nobody who coached Deion is on the staff.
Good point.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you still use them. So, I think, you look at it and says, and yes and no. Yeah, I mean, I think Brew is stretching like, oh, yeah, but these are the DBs that played under Jimbo. These are guys who, I mean, when you look at
– like it or not, it's a fact.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the guy played for him. You know, when you say – when you get these coaches to say, look at all these guys. And matter of fact, all these coaches individually use these guys on their resume. When you go to these coaches' web – when you go to these coaches' bios for all of their schools, right now if you go to any person, you go to you go to Ed Ogeron's page right now, and I promise you he's going to say he coached Warren Sapp. He's going to say he coached Warren Sapp at the University of Miami.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Well, he was assistant D-line coach at the time under Bob Karmelowicz. You know what I mean? But he's still claiming that's his guy.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
I do.
So they all do it. And I know they were up in arms about everybody's like, oh, can you use this guy's image? You know, blah, blah, blah. Well, newsflash, when you play in the NFL, you don't own your image. when you play in college football, you don't own your image. You can't.
We talked about that in itself. I mean, that's the whole thing that's going on in college basketball right now. But the fact that a kid can't get a meal and the NCAA is making money hand over fist, something's got to be done about it regardless of how this thing plays out, because they are prostituting the athletes across the board. And I know everybody's going to say Title IX, but the biggest thing is the biggest revenue-generating sports, basketball and football, the athletes are getting prostituted night and day. I always go back to this, but if Chris Webber's jersey was generating millions for the University of Michigan and he couldn't even get enough money to go on a date or buy a pizza and he was hungry, that is wrong.
Yeah,
there is something wrong with the system
when
something like that happens.
Everybody goes, oh, but they're giving you education. They're doing. Listen, half the time education ain't worth the paper it's printed on, for one. For two, you can't even go in there and take certain classes that you wanted to take
because of your schedule.
So if I go to school saying I want to be an engineer, or I go to school saying, like Florida State, we have a phenomenal film program and a phenomenal engineer program, you know what I mean, and a phenomenal communications program.
You're using my word, but go ahead.
And so now all of a sudden, if I can't go and go to film school, or I can't be an engineer, why? Because my schedule will not permit me to do so.
Right.
My football schedule not. So now, what did I get out of coming here?
Yeah, because half the time, by the time the kid's eligibility is done, and people don't realize this, you could lose your scholarship any time along the process. Well, and once your eligibility is done, you run out of time to get the credits necessary to finish your degree. You're still so far behind, because even if you took classes just to stay eligible, they weren't classes working towards that piece of paper.
Well, you got to have classes working towards. That's where the rules have changed.
Okay.
You have no choice.
Because when I played, it didn't.
No. Now it's you have to have classes towards your – like there are certain classes you have to have a certain amount of hours towards your degree every year.
Well, bottom line, you get the gist of the fact that it's still ridiculous that because you are on such a all-day, all-night schedule, and then, oh, by the way, you're supposed to still figure out a way to do classroom activities. And a lot of – you're away from your degree – it's going to take you a lot longer to get it, and then you're focused on, if you're able to, playing on the next level. So sometimes you might not even play 4 years, but yet while you were there, you were used in every way, shape, and form to try and generate revenue for the university. And this Nate Robinson story came out where he said the University of Washington offered him $100,000 to stay. People don't realize Nate Robinson, the basketball player, was also a great football player at Washington.
Yeah.
And he said the football program, certain people associated with it, offered him $100,000 to stay to play football because they needed him. You were one of the top two recruits in the country. You were a guy that was sought after by a lot of people, and you've been through the process. You played for a major university like this. You ever deal with stuff like that?
Of course.
So people are flipping you bones
I'm going to tell you, man. Like, I had major schools in the SEC offer me boatloads of money. Well, I tell you, boatloads of money. But, see, my father is a different type of dude, man. He's not that – he's a no-nonsense, do-not-play-the-radio type of dude where he's literally like, you're not taking money from anybody, because once you're on the take, you're always on the take, and you're not going to owe these people, you know, whatever, you know.
How rampant is it? I mean,
as that spit, you just spit it on.
Is it rampant in both sports? I mean, are you got, it's whether it be at games or when boosters
is.
See you, they're sliding money in your pocket?
It is it's rampant in both sports, basketball and football. And the crazy part is, the only reason why you don't hear about it, because they got to do it on the table. You look at basketball, you got to remember, baseball kids have agents at – how many times they got agents when they get drafted? You can get drafted 6 times in your lifetime.
Yeah, right.
And every time you have
hockey
an agent –
hockey and baseball are the anti in terms of with the draft process and coming out and all that.
Yeah, you got an agent every time. If you sign one time with an agent, you lose your eligibility. Why?
I mean, this is crazy. I mean, it's part of this investigation, too. The fact that the kid from Michigan State, as long as he made a $40 donation for a lunch, he's still eligible. But the NCAA isn't nitpicking?
Exactly.
Wow.
NCAA needs – I've been saying this for years, that college football and all the Power Five need to secede from the NCAA.
If you're Jalen Rose, you're saying, hey, if you're an NCAA team for March Madness, you should boycott the tournament this year. Show them how much it really means. Because that is their moneymaker. All right, we got two in the books, one to go, 1 hour left of the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's Travis Johnson and myself, Joel Blank, Nick Chiara back at the studio. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97. Yeah, she knows she's built
and knows how to please. ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.